Everybody, welcome to Mattman, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarin. I'm joined by the man that I would love to do a 60-minute Broadway with, Rich Stamboli.
Absolutely. And a 60-minute 69.
69-minute Broadway.
We 69 with our clothes on, though.
You're a dirty boy, though.
What's up?
Listen, I had a very long evening. I had a very long day.
Yeah, dude.
I had lunch at the Palm. You know what I was? I was like a fat cat finance guy last night.
You were.
Really was.
You were a fancy boy.
I was a fancy boy. I went to the Palm. Mm-hmm. I was at Mastro's, my favorite steakhouse in the city.
Really?
Anyway, I love Mastro's is my spot. That's my place.
What'd you get?
We got a porterhouse.
Oh, very nice.
We shared a porterhouse. We got a bunch of sides.
Oh, yeah.
We had some really nice wine.
Get that garlic mash.
We got the garlic mash.
Oh, yeah.
We had some really good whiskey.
Very nice.
So we're like, we're having a good time. I'm with a client. I'm with my buddy Mike, my attorney, mm-hmm. Davidoff.
Yeah.
and he's like, hey, why don't we go smoke some cigars?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's 11 o'clock. That's a fantastic idea. So we went to Club Macanudo.
Perfect.
And I got to tell you, it is a stinky, stinky place.
Yeah.
But it's like a membership club.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the guys had a membership. So we go there, we're smoking cigars, and I'm like, where am I? And by the way, AEW's on the TV. It wasn't 11. It was like 10 o'clock. It was right at the end. MJF was in there cutting a promo. So mm-hmm. What time was that? 9:40?
Yeah, it was very close to the end.
Yeah. So I went, we had a good time, and today I feel like total crap. By the way, I have a meeting at Bohemian Grove next week.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just letting you know. Cool. I'm joining all of them. Skull and Bones, I'm joining all of them.
You're doing everything.
Yeah. I'm all in.
You're doing it all.
Yeah.
Did you feel like a fancy boy yesterday?
It's a normal Wednesday.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's every Wednesday for me.
Yeah, very nice.
I just eat steak and smoke cigars and drink whiskey.
Now, you eat. They don't make you serve them food.
No, I'm not eating. I'm the butler. I'm the server. I didn't say that part.
Yeah, everybody knows that you work for Sapphires, but you never tell them that your side gig is a
fancy boy,
a manservant.
A manservant, yeah. Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. What are you going to do? Guys, we have a ton of stuff to talk about. You also, you had martinis last night.
Yeah, we got these.
I like that you and Vicky do that. That's like our thing too. We do the martinis.
Yeah, so we got these like cocktails, like infusion kits. And it was really good. It was really good. It was like cranberry orange with like a cube of sugar in it. It was very nice. So we just hung out. Vicky went to bed very early. I was slammed at work. But it was nice. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. Somebody in the chat goes, does Andrew know that he had to go to Yale to join Skull and Bones? How do you know that I didn't go to Yale?
You're a Yale man.
Maybe I'm a Yale boy. Yeah. I went there. Maybe I'm a Harvard boy.
That's what they say.
Maybe I'm a Queensborough Community College boy.
I'm a Yale boy.
Guys, so much to talk about. I had a very interesting conversation over the last couple days.
Yes.
With some pretty important people
mm-hmm.
about pro wrestling and the future of TV and how it's going for pro wrestling mm-hmm. and if there is even a viable third major promotion to put on network television, you know, network, cable television in a prime space. So a lot of interesting stuff. I do want to remind you guys, we have a ton of content coming in the last couple of weeks. We're going to have our best of show, our worst of 2021 show, best mm-hmm. of 2021 show, our prediction show for 2022. I would love to know what we predicted last year. I almost want to say we may have said CM Punk's coming back.
Oh, we definitely did.
I think you may have said, I'm curious what it is.
We've been saying that shit for years.
I say it every day.
CM Punk's coming back.
Listen, isn't that how journalism works? You just repeat something over and over again and hopefully it happens at one point.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know? So we have that going on. We also have a special show, a secret show we're filming tomorrow.
Oh yeah, baby.
So we're going to do that. We have so much stuff going on, but guys, listen, if you enjoy the content, we've had a tremendous, tremendous year. This has been a unbelievable ride. I think this has been the best year for the show in the 10 years we've been doing it.
It has been. It's only going to get better from here.
Only getting better from here. I'm working on some pretty cool stuff. Listen, you like what we do, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/mattmanpodcast. You can fund us there, whatever you want to fund us for different tiers. You get some bonus content, but in general, it helps pay the bills here. Mm-hmm. It goes to our producers, Suncast, John Bubb, our executive producer, MG Geek, Matt, our segment producer, and of course, Jonathan, our graphic designer here, and another one of our producers. We have three producers on the show.
We got a nice crew.
Yeah.
We got a nice little crew here.
Yeah. You know who came to Sapphire the other day?
Who?
Kevin Hart. He was there on Monday. Yeah, so it's in page six right now.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we're doing a ton of stuff, and so much wrestling is going on. Why don't we begin with the news, Rich?
Sure. So this is not much of a shocker, to be honest with you. Kevin Owens,
not so much.
Not so much of a shocker.
A lot of people, it was.
Kevin Owens re-signed with WWE.
Kevin Owens re-signed with WWE. I spoke to a source, a contact at WWE, and he did get a very good offer from AEW.
I'm sure he did.
So this is public. I'm assuming people would assume this, right? Mm-hmm. It's publicly known that he was attempting to see what's going on. He did get a very nice offer from AEW, and I can tell you that WWE countered that offer. His deal is in the range of $2 to $3 million.
Oh yeah.
There is no, he doesn't have a no cut contract, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It's not a no cut contract. I specifically asked about it. I think Dave mentioned it on Observer Radio last night with Brian. I confirmed it's not a no cut contract. This is a great move for him. You know, a lot of people are upset with this, and you got to also think about it this way, right? The guy is, and you could tell that he's agreed to the terms of the contract a while ago, because the last couple of weeks he's been a major focus point on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I rewatched Raw this morning, and I got to tell you, they're doing a good job at the buildup with him and Owens and Lashley and Seth and Big E. They've done a pretty interesting job at that.
I'll agree with that.
I'll give them that. Kevin Owens, he's been there for a while. The family guy, wife and kids. $3 million is not something that you turn down.
That is
especially in professional wrestling, because this is a guy that started off, you hear the stories. He's not a guy that got picked by WWE with an NIL deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy that was put on TV immediately. He ate crap for many, many years as a journeyman, as an independent pro wrestler. Internet fan favorite for the longest time. Tremendous wrestler. And, a guy, he's living his dream. He's a WWE superstar. How do you take that away from him? And now, 3 years goes by really quickly, and he's still young enough to do something afterwards. So
he's a smart guy.
Very smart guy.
He's a smart guy.
Happy for him that he has decided what he's doing next couple of years. You're happy with this decision.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. Like, I love Kevin Owens. I like seeing him on TV. It doesn't matter what. But I kind of want to tie something into the next little bullet point that we have, which is Johnny Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Have not re-signed with WWE,
and I have some insight on that.
Interesting.
I would say one of those individuals is going to AEW.
Okay.
Maybe both. I don't know, but I know that one of them is most likely going.
Mm-hmm.
This was said to me by someone at WWE that they were under the impression that he was going, and then I got a call later on and said, "Oh, I believe it's happening.
It's a done deal.
It's a done deal." I don't want to say one or the other, because there's no contract. I don't know if there's a contract signed, and I don't want to ruin a deal for anybody if there is a deal. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I could tell you that I'm leaning favorably that one of those two is going. I'm not going to say which one yet. Maybe I'll say it tomorrow.
Okay. That'd be cool.
I just want to, be careful with that.
Absolutely. So let's unpack this for another couple of minutes here. It's very interesting. Kevin Owens re-signing, I think, is probably better for him now than him going to AEW, because that ceiling is pretty much tapped, right? Where if Kevin Owens, as much as people want to see him in AEW, what does he do? Does he get immediately into the title hunt?
Yeah, I think that's a big discussion to have, and I think some of this is gonna, we'll go into this. By the way, not a good week for the Khan family with their Jags issue. Urban Meyer did not work out for them.
Oh boy!
And after 13 games, I know that they're having, the Jags are in some sort of turmoil right now with what the hell's going on with that team.
Mm.
Also, I wonder how that plays with AEW. You know what I mean? You think that plays a part in, like, Tony's mindset?
You mean, like, financially?
No. Just effort-wise. Like, September, they were killing it.
Yeah.
With ratings and everything. And things have kind of evened out, I would say. Slowed down, evened out, whatever you want to say. And now you have this thing to deal with. Does that impact your decision-making, because you're possibly, not distracted, but occupied with something else?
I think a guy like Tony Khan probably operates on a different level than...
I hear he just gets angry and just punches walls. That's what I hear. He just goes nuts and starts headbutting the walls.
Just like Mr. Gonzo after a couple of beers.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Tony Khan strikes me as a guy who's... He's above that kind of stuff. You know, like, to be in that position, you kind of have to have, like, the mental dexterity to do the things that he does.
And oh, definitely.
Plus, like, especially growing up in a wealthy family. You know, it's a bump in the road probably for him. I can't see him freaking out about this.
I love his father's mustache. Let me just say
that. Oh my God, yeah.
Fantastic.
Bad week for those cons, good week for Nick Khan.
Good week, great week for that con.
Yeah.
So Gargano, Kyle O'Reilly have not re-signed with WWE. You could tell that Gargano has this, you know, pro wrestling teach store going. He has his Twitch feed going.
Yeah.
Apparently him and Adam Cole were supposed to do a podcast together.
What would that have been called?
I don't know. I'm interested to
Bebe and the baby.
Bebe and the baby. I don't know. Very interesting stuff. Let's go into this.
Yeah, sure.
On We're Live, Pal, with Denise Salcedo and Garrett Gonzalez on Tuesdays on Wrestling Observer.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about MJF, and I, in passing, made a comment, and I didn't think that this would become like a story, and people started picking up, so I had to write something about it. I had a couple conversations over the last few weeks with a couple of key people from the Fox side and the, you know, the USA side. By key people, I'm not going to go into detail about executives, because people are like now seeking out who's telling me things.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Like, by the way, like, not WWE or AEW seeking it out. Like,
right.
People are investigating who could possibly be telling me stuff.
Better delete that LinkedIn.
The LinkedIn's done. I'm friends with everybody on LinkedIn. You can't tell anything. I'm friends with everybody. Pablo Picasso and I are still boys. He's still alive. I don't know if you know that. Yeah. The artist, he's alive. That's another thing. Everybody thinks Picasso is like an old painter.
Like a Renaissance painter.
No.
He died in the 20th century.
Yeah.
And so did Dali.
Yeah, Dali too. So I've been asked about MJF way more than I've ever been asked by like non-pro wrestling fans. Like people that are familiar, obviously, because it's part of their work line. Okay. But they're not people that watch wrestling regularly that would know a lot of, like, they wouldn't know who Jungle Boy is. I'll give you that example.
Okay.
Right? Like, we know who Jungle Boy is. He's great. But they wouldn't know him because they don't follow wrestling like that. I always find it interesting when I get asked about certain names and what they do. Like, years ago, Kenny Omega was the one that I heard. Everybody's like, what's his story? Who is he? Can you, you know, what do you know about him?
Yeah.
A lot of questions about MJF. And... I even reached out to somebody at WWE to kind of confirm, like, is this conversation happening? Because I don't want to put words beyond what I said about this, and I'm going to read the quotes, but it seems like the networks are actively engaging, trying to figure out pieces in the puzzle.
Okay.
Right? And this is what I somewhat wrote about this, right? In the past few weeks, I've been asked personally by multiple people within Fox and USA regarding MJF. It seems like this program with CM Punk has brought a new level of interest, which it has, because a lot of people were focused in on that CM Punk promo the last couple of weeks that they've done. And these are not major wrestling fans. They're in the business, regardless if it's sales or marketing or advertising, whatever it is on the network side, they have to be in tune with this. One individual who's been a very reliable source said the following: I actually stopped what I was doing and listen to him. I don't think I've done that with pro wrestling in a long time. And that says something. And the person that said this to me, I would say that he's a disenfranchised wrestling fan. Obviously, much like everybody else in the 90s, wrestling played a huge part in them. He's, you know, young enough to have grown, you know, watched the Attitude Era and everything else.
He's a grizzled fan.
But he's a sports guy, this guy.
Yeah.
When I reached out to somebody at WWE, they mentioned that they've had the conversations in the past. And this was interesting. He has everything that we would want. It really depends on if he could be that same person on WWE TV. Now, I don't think, and people, when I said that, people asked me, like, what do you mean by that? I don't think he meant, like, we wouldn't allow him to be. It was, would he come off the same way? Obviously, right. He's not going to be able to cut the same type of promos, so it would have to, would he still have that impact without it? We want new stars to be the focus within the next few years. That's the plan.
And he's very young.
and he's very young.
He's a very young man. We got a $5 super chat from John Gorman pertaining to the MJF situation.
Okay.
Everyone is losing their minds about MJF. He's under contract for 2 more years at least.
Yep.
A lot of things can change between now and then. Hashtag relax.
Yeah, a lot could change.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you that they're going to play a major... They're going to try to get him. There's no question about that.
100%. And I also think this is a testament to how thirsty wrestling fans could be.
Yeah.
Where they're like, give me the dirt. Give me the dirt, Andrew. Yeah. I don't even know about this. Where's it going?
So this kind of ties in with the NIL stuff that we broke down last week, which a lot of people enjoy.
Oh, for sure.
So I had a conversation yesterday with somebody at WWE, and I kind of wanted like more information because I'm like... What's the deal with the NIL stuff? Like, how's it working? You know, a lot of people are interested as to why to do this. And it was the same thing that I said, you know, for years historically, WWE's always looked after athletes.
They've always
brought in athletes. And I believe Big E spoke at the Sports Business Journal conference, and he brought up the fact that he's like, listen, I wish I knew at a younger age that I could become a wrestler. That there is a program, because he was an athlete in college. But by the time that, you know, his knees were blown, his back, you know, like all these things, if he had known and had the proper positioning, he would have had an easier transition into wrestling, which I find that interesting. And I think that's a story with these. So now the question is, well, what happens with, you know, them hiring wrestlers from the independents?
Right.
Right. I can tell you that if there is a star on the indies or in another company that came up through the independent way of coming through wrestling, they're not going to overlook this guy and say, oh, you're not 6'2" and 250.
Right, right.
If there is something there, they are definitely going to have interest, and they're going to definitely look into him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's over for these indie guys and all those guys that got released from Ring of Honor and everybody else.
Oh, no, not at all. There's always a position in pro wrestling for these guys.
Because have you felt that people feel now, like, let's say the Ring of Honor guys or all those guys that are released, like, it's done. They can't go to WWE. WWE's not going to hire these guys.
I think that's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous statement. You know, look at a guy like Adam Pearce, you know?
Adam Pearce, great example.
Adam Pearce is a good example. The guys they have training down in NXT, the ladies they have training down in NXT, like the trainers, you know, there's always a spot for somebody in pro wrestling. You know, did you think you'd see Jerry Lynn as one of the best agents in AEW?
Oh, he's fantastic, man. Yeah, he's unbelievable.
You know, there's so much stuff going on behind the scenes of wrestling. Yeah. And, you know, these guys could open up schools. They could do a lot of stuff. And I think people automatically get into panic mode when they don't see their favorite guy on TV or girl.
I get that. So this kind of goes into a conversation I want to ask you about. And it's, do you think the AEW roster, what do you think they do now? Because think about all the free agents that exist now. Ring of Honor had their final show. Essentially, right? The final show of this type of Ring of Honor. You got a ton of great talent available. AEW can't grab all these guys, and I don't think WWE is going to grab maybe one or two guys. But what do you do when you have such a surplus of professional wrestlers that really don't have a place to go that they could afford them?
Right, right. That's the big issue, right? And you have Impact, you have MLW, you have AEW and WWE, right?
And New Japan.
And New Japan.
Japan isn't, I mean, the Japan is shut down, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for the most part. I think the issue, speaking as a fan and just watching this stuff, I think the issue with AEW is that, you know, they got to be careful who they sign because they have so much young, inexperienced talent that are showcased on Dark, Elevation, etc., that should be a concentration. You know, you can't be scooping up guys left and right, but I do think there are diamonds in the rough that need to be brought over and then extend Rampage to 2 hours. Like, I'm going to throw the Briscoes out there.
The Rampage going to 2 hours would make so much sense if they weren't on at 10 o'clock.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's part of the, like, Briscoe, great example.
Yeah.
WWE's not taking them.
Right. Would love to see them on AEW.
Most likely you are.
Right.
You know, most likely you're going to see that. I just think, you know, if there was a time for somebody to get their crap together and put together like a third organization, this would be the moment.
Or
that
if,
would have good positioning.
Or if Impact did another tweak.
I got to tell you, man.
It's never dying.
I'm going to say this, and people take, and I say this all the time, people take it the wrong way. Like, Impact, God, if that TNA name did not exist in 2013, if they said, you know what, we're killing this whole TNA thing. We're starting over with that Spike Live deal. I know they tried with Impact Wrestling, but you needed to do a whole new restart.
Yeah.
Not even like kind of connected. They would have had a better they would have had better press. I think the stink of TNA always existed. And listen, they had shining moments in TNA. They had great talent, great matches, great stuff. But to a lot of people, the fact that it was TNA and TNA represented the death of WCW,
right,
the worst of WCW, it never kind of got people's gears going. They always were looked at as like late stage WCW to a lot of people.
Right. And, you know, like it's...
I mean, they were, but...
I think, you know, there's two things about Impact, which one is fascinating, that they're like an undying creature where they've been around forever, right? And they're never... It doesn't look like they're going away. But they're... From a production standpoint, it's a boring-looking production, you know? Like,
static.
I have more interest in watching NWA... than Impact.
Even though that's static, but it's not.
But it's fun. Yeah. There's like a funness to it. There's a playfulness to it.
There's a gimmick to it, and that's the retroness.
Whereas like Impact, I feel like it's samesy production. And you know what? A lot of the promos on Impact are very samesy. They're very classic like wrestling promos of like, I'm angry, I'm looking into the camera, this is what you're gonna get. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But you know, like I think it needs like an injection of something, a little bit of adrenaline.
A little bit, yeah.
When they were doing their AEW crossovers earlier in the year, that made it more fun.
Yeah, but that's the Ring of Honor trap, right? You rely on third party talent, and then when you have nobody, you die.
Right.
You know, I just feel like right now, if there was any moment for somebody, like if MLW were to get some sort of funding and better positioning on TV, maybe going on Vice, you know, maybe possibly having all their content on Vice, which is a cooler channel than, you know, BN.
Yeah.
They could have done something, but I don't know if MLW's the answer. I don't know if Impact's the answer, but I could tell you that there is a tremendous wealth of talent available that should not be in WWE or AEW because those rosters are so big.
Yeah.
And Tony can't, I mean, how many more, when you don't have a writing team, right? And you're writing for so many people, it's as detrimental as when you have a writing team writing for so many people.
Yeah, yeah,
you can't focus in. And I'm not saying AEW has that problem, but I can see that happening if you keep building and adding more talent. Because at one point, they're going to get disgruntled, and you're not going to be able to profile them. Look at Brian Cage.
Oh, yeah, that's a good example. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Tony Khan has inspired other multimillionaires who are wrestling fans to possibly do the same thing, or is Tony Khan that one in a million, like a Ted Turner?
I think Tony's someone very special because he has the connections within sports and television, and advertising to be able to kind of put something like this together. Listen, sometimes it's the timing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came in at a very important time. And the door was open, and he saw it, and he took it, and it worked. Now, would this have worked in 2015? I don't think so. Because in 2015, a lot of the talent that we see now were not cultivated.
I'll agree with that. 2015, 2016 for sure. 2015, I'll agree with you on there.
But NXT was on fire. Ring of Honor was doing great. New Japan was on fire. Was there room for a second organization in North America? Possibly, but I don't think that would have been the moment because the other products were doing so, they were healthy.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating too, and we say this all the time, and we've said this for numerous years. It's crazy how a lot of this upswell really revolves around the Bullet Club.
Everything, yeah. The whole thing revolves around, because they were able to capture a disenfranchised fan from yesteryear. And they were able to capture the fan of today, which is very difficult to do. They had the nostalgia act of the Bullet Club with, you know, NWO and DX.
Right.
It worked. You also got to see very little of it. And I always say that's the key. Like the whole New Japan boom, listen, they had a tremendous, from 2014 to, you know, the pandemic, 2019.
Yeah.
They had a great run of being phenomenal. All those shows. obviously pandemic grinded that. Obviously they made some weird decisions. WWE raided them of their talent.
Yeah.
They lost key people. But even when like the whole Kenny Omega stuff was happening and the Bullet Club stuff was happening, nobody would ever, like, all my friends that were into Bullet Club that would buy the shirts, they would watch clips. They would watch, you know, they would go on Reddit and see some matches. Mm-hmm. They weren't watching like New Japan pay-per-views.
Daily Motion, baby.
Daily Motion. They would go on Daily Motion to watch stuff.
Before the New Japan Network.
So when you get to see the best of the best, obviously your perception is going to be, man, this is so good.
Plus, you know, it's the with Tony Khan, it was the perfect storm of that amount of talent that existed who were together at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny, Bucks, Cody. Right?
Kenny, Bucks, Cody. Yeah, that was instrumental. Yeah.
Listen, very instrumental.
If I mean, we're going to go into more news, but this is a cool conversation. If Cody didn't leave WWE, what would have happened?
Fascinating. If Cody didn't make that bet with Dave Meltzer.
If Jericho didn't want to do something different. You know, these are all interesting.
Perfect storm.
Perfect storm. And that's that goes. Same thing happened in 97.
Yeah.
You know, the whole boom period. That was a perfect storm.
Let's move on to more news. Speaking of New Japan, Shibata will be returning to wrestle night one at Wrestle Kingdom next year. Very pumped for that.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious how much he's going to do, because the last time he did something, they warned everybody, stay away from his neck.
You know what? If he can wrestle like a Brock Lesnar style, great.
Yeah.
Not too many bumps. Hard hitting.
Hard hitting, yeah. And we discussed the Jags losing Urban Meyer and, you know, managing that travesty of the Jags. I hope they have a good season.
You're my favorite Jag.
Am I your favorite Jag? Jag like the CBS show?
Jag like the show.
Yeah. ROH final battle highlights. Quickly, let's do this. FTR showed up and confronted the Briscoes after they won the Ring of Honor tag team titles for the 12th time.
Amazing.
Jonathan Gresham beat Jay Lethal to win the vacated ROH title. Bandido had to vacate it due to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Weston Blake and... I just want to.
Okay?
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, if I had Braun Strowman showing up in ROH on my bingo card, I would have had bingo immediately.
Okay.
I mean, what are the odds that this happened? The Titan Adam Shearer.
It's sure.
Sure. Did he spell it wrong?
Yeah.
Of course he did. He also has a typo here somewhere that I can't wait to attack him on.
Is it the one I corrected?
I don't know. What did you correct? He had one that was hysterical.
Okay.
He joined EC3's Control Your Narrative faction, and they showed up in Ring of Honor. I don't know what's going on with this. Maybe he shows up in Impact. I mean, that would be... I mean, where does he go?
I still think he's putting together his crew of dummies.
His crew of dummies. This is the stable of dummies you've been talking about this whole time.
Good for him, though. He looks good.
Oh, man, he looks fantastic. Big. Yeah.
Big. But for real, how tall do you think he is?
6'9".
I'm going to say 6'4".
No way.
Yeah.
No
6'5",
way.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Like straight up. Not wrestle height, man.
No. Shoot height. No, I think he's like at least 6'7". Okay. Yeah. He's a big dude. He's a very, very big guy. He's actually transformed his body and his look. So this is great. He got rid of the beard. He looks like a normal person in society. He could function in society now. Let's go to WWE SmackDown. Brock Lesnar ruled over SmackDown. Brock is great in this new character.
Oh, love it. So comfortable.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Raw, Bobby Lashley added to that title picture for day one.
Great.
Looks like it's going to be a good pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Liv challenged Becky at day one. Becky injured Liv's arm, then accepted.
Cool.
NXT, Tony D'Angelo defeated Andre Chase.
Great.
Braun Breaker beat Roderick Storm. Good match.
Yeah.
And then Ciampa attacked Breaker at the end. So they're continuing this, and it seems like this is going to be the match.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to AEW. Winter is coming.
Yes.
Go into it.
This is... Can you do the first bullet point?
Oh,
I think.
Here we go. This is it. This is the correction.
AEW, I'll set you up for it.
Okay.
AEW World Championship match, Hangman Adam Page versus Bryan Danielson, went to a 60-minute time limit draw.
According to our producer, MG Geek, there was lots of sociology happening in this match.
I love it. I read that this morning, and I was like, I wrote psychology question mark next to it.
I saw it and I was like, sociology. I'm like, okay.
MG's punching himself in the face right now.
He is. Stupid, stupid, just hitting himself in the head. I thought it was fantastic. 60 minute draw. I watched it when I got home. When I got home, I watched it and I was so tired. And a little drunk. And I was like, you know what? This is great. So I watched it this morning. Great match. 60 minute draw. I like these time limit draws. They don't use it too often, but when they do, it's important.
Absolutely.
Now, I have a theory on this. Okay?
Okay.
Everybody's talking about how brilliant this was because it set up the secondary Hangman Page and Brian Danielson match.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. It set up a three-way.
Oh, yeah.
Omega has a he could challenge again for his title. He has a rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Danielson never beat him, and he never beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Hangman and Danielson never beat each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is an interesting three-way to have if you could put it together. Now, I don't know if Kenny's going to be back by the pay-per-view, but if he is,
yeah,
wouldn't this be the logical match? It's a first-time match. You're going to see all three of them in a match. It's an important match.
Mm-hmm.
Well, any of them could win, and none of them look bad. Danielson's still, undefeated in a singles match. He wouldn't really have that loss on his thing because it's not a singles match. I think, if I were to book this, I would definitely want to do it that way and give something different rather than a rematch between Hangman and Danielson. How do you feel?
I love that idea.
What do you think of the sociology of what I booked?
The sociology of what you booked is pretty fantastic. You should be a sociologist.
Thank you.
a wrestling sociologist. I love the match from last night. I agree with you 100%. I think it's going to be a three-way. And here's a little fantasy booking. Three-way match happens.
Yeah.
All the guys are laid out, right? They go to a time limit draw.
I got one.
Right? You ready? They go to a time limit draw.
I know what
you're going. Out of the crowd. Belt's in the middle of the ring. Out of the crowd. Okada comes.
That was it.
Picks up the belt. And then you get a fatal four-way.
The internet dies.
And then the internet just jizzes everywhere.
I thought it was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
I was... last week we were talking about this, and you said Broadway, 60-minute Broadway, and I said 30-minute time limit draw. I forgot that they would go 60 minutes on this. I thought that they do 30 minutes on TV.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a title match, so 60 minutes. I totally overset. But
amazing.
Very good job. Very unique. Now, I'm curious how the quarter does. I'm curious how those ratings do, because to me, I love that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know you do.
I love that stuff. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means to a casual viewer.
I don't know, man. The crowd was with it the whole time, dude. It was, I think if people were flipping the channels, they'd stick around just because of the energy.
Yeah, it was great. The energy was fantastic. Paige got busted open early. Paige hit one of the best moonsaults.
Can you pronounce that?
Moonsaults.
So good.
Danielson was working the arm the entire match. Paige was working the knee. The crowd stayed in the match all the way, which I was happy to see, because you know how these long 60-minute matches go.
Yeah,
it's ebbs and flows, and they were there the whole time.
Work the leg.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
What would you rate it?
I got to watch it again. I gotta be honest. I would say, listen, it's scalable, right? Do you want to give it a 5-star match?
Yeah, let's go tropical. Let's give it 10 coconuts.
I give it about 9.5 coconuts. I thought it was great. The star ratings, anything 4.25, 4, 5, 4.75. It doesn't matter.
It's subjective.
6. It's all subjective. It's all fantastic.
A lot of people complain about the ending, but listen, both guys were kept strong. I think the story that they told was excellent. Adam Page is a new champion, and he was up against a 4-time world champion wrestling machine.
I do want to say one thing. There's no doubt that Bryan Danielson is the best wrestler in the world. He is the best pro wrestler in the world right now. There is, it's unbelievable to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll give him an extra point in that category because this man's career was over.
Yeah.
Couple years ago, this guy was done. He was not going to wrestle again. He had a career-ending injury. Mm-hmm. And you know what? What a terribly fantastic story that he finally did what he never thought he would do. Became WWE Undisputed Unified Champion, right, with both titles.
Yeah,
and he had to end his career.
Beat Evolution in one night,
and then he came back and he had to go away again.
Yeah, dude.
That's just unbelievable. But I truly my personal opinion, and this is all subjective, mm-hmm. there's nobody better at this than he is right now.
I agree with that.
As a wrestler.
Yeah. Wrestler, absolutely. Wrestler. The sociology he employs in his matches. My God.
He went to a good college, so he's had some nice sociology courses.
Would you go to a good college?
Would you go? What are you taking, sociology 208?
After that, you know, how do you follow that? Very tough to follow. We have a squash match with Wardlow. Wardlow beat Matt Sydal with his... was it like quadruple powerbomb?
Yeah, he killed him.
Yeah, he murdered him.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Next, you have Hikaru Shida beating Serena Deeb. I really enjoyed this match.
The crowd was out of it.
Yeah, the crowd was so deflated. The energy was gone. They witnessed like one of the most epic matches on AEW history, if not in the entire history of AEW. That's actually the Hangman Bryan match. That's a match I wish I was there for.
Hey, man, I would have loved to be there. Dude, we were there for a 30-minute draw with Kenny and awesome. And Danielson.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be one of those matches that people talk about, like a Flair and whatever going to Broadway, you know?
Hook's debut is recapped from Rampage. Pretty excellent.
We got to talk about that.
Hook, man.
I made a comment and people got upset, and I didn't mean this in a bad way on We're Live, Pal.
You never do.
I never. Dude, you know what it is? I think people are so...
You're not a hot take guy.
I have some hot takes, but like I'm like, I don't care, man. It's wrestling. It's nothing real.
You're a hot cakes guy.
I'm a hot. I love hot cakes.
Yeah,
Johnny cakes. There you go. High five. High five. We're sick. The fact that we could go in and out like this. Mm-hmm. I said that. I'm like, listen, fantastic. Right? Like, cool look. He's a cool kid.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
I was so happy to see Taz.
Yeah.
So happy. You know, like it's a proud moment for him, man. Anybody, you know, my kid had a hit. In Little League, he hit the freaking ball. It went flying, and it was like I won the Kentucky Derby. You know, like it was unbelievable. I like his look. I like the whole blood sport thing. His suplexes look great.
Oh, he's the son of the suplex machine.
He's the son of the suplex machine. He does a Kata Hajime to finish. Cool entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine him. Remember, by the way, he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
Imagine him in 6 years.
Big, bloated.
Big.
Taz 2.
Like that. He's taller than Taz 2, right? He has some height.
I think so.
Yeah. So imagine him like they booked him at 201 pounds.
I can see that.
There's, you know, I'm not going to guess his weight. I would say he's under 200 pounds.
He's got the density of his dad.
Imagine his bones are dense like his dad. I also said that I want to interview Hook. I want to get Hook on the show.
Same here, man.
Because I want to ask him one question. What was it like to have Taz as your father?
Must have been cool.
And it must have been cool. I got yelled at by him multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
By Taz.
Oh, for sure.
He yelled at us on Twitter.
He yelled at us on Twitter.
But because he got mistaken. We have the same graphic designer for t-shirts.
Yes.
And he was like, why does your shirt look like mine? And I was like, I don't know, dude. It's a boxing shirt. The designer made it. He's like, are you a boxer? And I was like, yeah, I'm a boxer.
He basically gave you like an okay, bro.
Okay, bro. Yeah, he gave me one of those.
It's kind
of funny. Then I offered to take him to Uncle Jack's for steak. But he... In 1999, I want to say, at the Wrestling Universe.
Oh, my God.
There were a bunch of knuckleheads doing, like, moves on each other on, like, on Springfield Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And Taz was doing an autograph signing there. And Taz came out with his freaking leather jacket and the whole thing. And he started screaming at me, thinking I'm one of them.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I'm not one of those kids. And he looked at me. He goes, I don't give a fuck. He walked away or something like that.
All right, dude.
And he walked away. I'm like, all right, man, I just want a picture. And then I went in there. He was so nice when I got his picture.
He's an interesting cat.
I burned my orange shirt that I was wearing after that.
When you say he yelled at you on Twitter, he has a special phone where he could just yell into it and it shows up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy. He does seem like a nice guy, though, in real life.
Listen.
Like, apart from the character, you know.
Nice Italian man from Massapequa.
Yeah. So... You have MJF cutting a promo on CM Punk. Compares Punk to Ryback.
He did. Now,
there's
he
a
did.
Name. That's like the Obi-Wan shit.
I hope
Star
he shows
Wars.
Up. I there's hope he shows
a,
up.
Yeah. There's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
You think he'll show up?
With handing out copies of The Secret to everybody?
Yeah.
That was his deal
Is that
for
his
while?
Deal?
That was
oh,
his
yeah,
deal for a while.
Changed his life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. I think he's like mired in lawsuits or some shit.
Is
know.
He? I don't know. I don't know his story.
Like he's suing everybody. I
it's
don't know.
Interesting that
know.
He just went away. He just left and never did it again.
Well, we talk about that. We talk about like the dudes who you know. I pop for the guys you know and girls when they leave a company and then they're like, yeah, I'm going to go somewhere else and ply my trade. I'm going to say Cody again. Cody was a great example. When Cody left, remember he had that list of people he wanted to wrestle?
Yeah.
You know, Ryback, whatever, man.
I you know, we missed Ryback and Goldberg by, you know, we never got Goldberg Austin.
Right.
We never got Ryback Goldberg.
Did you ever, like, really enjoy Ryback?
There was a moment that I was, that we were watching this, because we had just started the show, I think, at that point, that Feed Me More stuff was really working. I loved when he would come out and, like, squash, like, four guys.
Yes.
When he would murder, like, four or five people at a time. I thought that was great, and they were doing a good job at building him with the record and everything. I think what happened with him is that he ended up entering that program with Punk, and Punk couldn't lose.
Right.
And Ryback shouldn't have lost. So they ended up, it got all muddled.
Got all muddled. And then they, in typical Vince fashion, they started calling him the big guy.
The big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, big guy.
Yeah.
Then you have MJF beating Dante Martin for the Dynamite Diamond Ring. I hope, this is a personal thing, I hope they made it big enough to fit on a middle or index finger. Instead of the pinky, because you can't really punch somebody with your pinky, you'll break your hand. MJF has been breaking his hand the entire for 3 years. Just wailing on people with a broken hand because the ring is on his pinky finger. FTR comes out to celebrate, the lights go out, and here you get Stang and Darby. Big attack.
People upset about the lights going out because they thought somebody was debuting.
The Briscoes?
It could have been, yeah. The Briscoes could have happened. People thought it was going to be Wyndham.
That would have been cool, like all like gnarly.
But nobody,
like,
I mean, like, I
covered
get,
in winter.
Like, sometimes we put things in our heads that we want, but like, nobody said that it was happening. Like, you know, if it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. By the way, debuts are happening in AEW. People are showing up the next couple weeks. Let me just say that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to have some people show up in that company, but they got to be selective.
They have to be selective. Like, would you have popped if it was FTR? I'm sorry. If it was the Briscoes and Punk next week versus FTR and MJF?
I would have loved that. Yeah, that would have been cool.
But Sting and Darby is pretty cool. I like that trio because, you know why? They're all straight edge.
Are they really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Darby, Sting, and Punk are all straight edge dudes.
Yeah.
Very fascinating.
Interesting.
I'm not knocking them for it.
No, that's interesting. That's an interesting combination.
That's like a bond.
It's a straight edge society. They redid it with Sting.
Imagine if Serena Deeb joins.
Oh, she's there too.
Yeah.
That would Gallows could show up.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But
Gallows is not straight edge.
No, I think that trio is a great trio. And I heard somewhere that Sting is actually mentoring Darby and to have him do like Sting stuff.
Is he mentoring like a big brother in life?
Yeah, like appearances and like charities and shit like that. You know,
that's cool.
Which is pretty cool.
Listen,
Sting's a good dude.
I want him to just be like big brother, like a big brother program. Like Darby throws a hissy fit. He's like a bad teen. He like storms out of his house and he's at the skate park. And the only person that he'll talk to is Sting. Darby's mom calls Sting. He's like, hey, listen, you got to go talk to Darby. And he's like, what's the matter, kiddo? He's like, I don't like school. And they had like a whole like big brother conversation.
I don't like school.
Yeah. Somebody needs to animate that. I would I wish we had somebody in the audience that's like an animator that could animate Sting, Darby like running away from home, going to the skate park, and Sting showing up like a big brother and is like, hey, kiddo, let me go get you dinner. And they go to the diner together.
Does Darby also have like a bindle over his shoulder?
Like one of these.
Classic hobo.
And you know what Darby gets? Pie. That's all he orders. And he eats it like a gavon.
Or
like he's never ate before.
Or does Sting and him have so much raucous fun that they just steal pies off of windowsills like this is like 1940? I want like a black and white like Steamboat Willie cartoon of this. Sting and Darby just hanging, stealing pies off of windowsills.
Yeah, I love it.
He teaches Darby tries to teach Sting how to skate.
I'm into this.
He ends up falling into like an open sewer.
Whoa, like one of those. So holiday edition of AEW Dynamite, CM Punk, Sting, Darby Allin versus MJF and FTR, like you said. Maybe we get something next week. Malakai Black and Griff Garrison. They're teasing the breakup between Griff Garrison and Pillman Jr. I'm waiting for Unhinged Pillman Jr. to happen.
Same here. I think Malakai Black is a. You always talk about how Roman is a fully realized character.
Yeah,
Malakai Black.
He's very committed.
Guy is committed. Gnarly. He looks awesome. He's doing the Mist, which I love personally.
I love the Mist. Did you see how they explained the Mist? They said that she went to the hospital and, you know, she's fine. She checked out. Okay. But they can't describe. They said it comes from like the throat region, like a supernatural gland.
Like Muda.
But that's a story, right? Yeah. It's a gland. That's why they hold it.
Yeah. It's not food coloring.
It's not food coloring. Apparently, it's like through training. If you rub the gland, it'll and depending on which one you do, it'll secrete whatever the mist is. So like green mist means something, black mist means something, right, red mist means something. I love that shit so much.
Me too.
That that exists in the universe of pro wrestling.
Absolutely. And in real life, realism. Too.
In real life, because that's, I do that all the time. I just, I've been doing this.
I've been trying to miss, I've been trying to miss to one of my buddies for like almost 20 years. And I'm trying to, I still haven't found the right moment because I don't want him to be offended.
Dude, that's a, if you spit in his face?
Missed.
Not, but you're going to do
not
it.
I'm not going to be like, I mean, you know.
What color are you going to miss?
Green.
Green?
Classic.
A classic.
Like bright green.
Classic.
Bright green. Do you think in that vignette, Malachi, Mordecai
Black.
Do you think in that vignette, Malachi was talking to Brody King?
Yes, he was. Ah, that's the other thing. Brody King is signed with AEW. They are tag partners. Yes. PWG champions, tag team champions.
Tattoo boys.
Tattoo boys. So is CM Punk. I would love to see. I think Brody King is a great get for them. I'll be honest with you.
100%.
You know who else would be a great get for them? I was thinking Ricochet. Ricochet would be a great get for them. But here's the thing. Like, Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy is an Adonis, right?
Yeah.
Chiseled body, has a very unique hybrid style of wrestling. Why is he not on TV right now?
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Crazy.
That says so much about the surplus in tremendous talent.
Right.
In the world of pro wrestling. Where there's no home for them to go to. The other thing is AEW needs to be careful because they need to create their own stars. So they can't keep grabbing these guys. And they have done a good job. Like Dante Martin is a future star in that company. Jungle Boy, obviously. Darby Allin, MJF, Britt Baker, the Acclaimed.
Yeah.
The Acclaimed. They have so many of these guys right now that they're developing that in 20 months, 18 months, they're going to be in peak positions. But in that meantime, who else do you bring that could do more for you? The end of the day, you need that Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
You know?
Or Roman Reigns.
Or Roman Reigns.
Great.
Yeah, so a lot going on here.
Also, next week, you're getting Adam Cole presenting a Christmas gift to the Bucks and Bobby Fish.
Oh, maybe it's Kyle O'Reilly.
I think it's Kyle in a box.
In a box? Jim Cornette booking, man. Can't go wrong if someone debuts in a box.
Yo, imagine if they debut Kyle O'Reilly as like a Hannibal Lecter character where he wheels him in on like a...
I could see him playing that.
Like a what do you call it? I'm losing my English today.
A
hand truck.
A hand truck.
They wheel him in on a hand truck in a straight jacket, and they're like, "Hey, it's
that's how Sabu used to come to the ring originally."
It's Kyle O'Reilly. I'd love that.
Mm-hmm.
What time do you have to be out of here?
11:50. I get on the 11:57.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So we got like 10 minutes.
15, I think.
15 minutes. Yeah, all right, let's do some questions.
Questions, baby.
You have them up.
We got the VMix Social. I'm going to hit this cue right now. This is,
before you do that.
Yeah.
Let's plug our YouTube channel. Subscribe to us. Mad Men Podcast on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. We're almost at 6,000 subscribers, which is awesome. We're growing that page. We're everywhere podcasts are available. So make sure you subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Also, patreon.com/MadMenPodcast. You can fund us there. And of course, here on YouTube, you can hit the super chat button and fund us.
Yes. This first question is from one of our friends. Hang on one second here. Boom.
No friend of mine.
NYC Demon Diva. My question is for Andrew. I want to know if he accepts my open challenge to fight.
I'll fight her.
Yeah.
I'm not scared. I'm married to a Puerto Rican.
I've seen
the worst that she could do?
I've seen you punch a woman before.
I sleep with one eye open every night.
Andrew's never punched a woman.
Constantly. Just punching. By the way, she was in Puerto Rico. She was gallivanting on the island of Puerto Rico all weekend. She went to a Bad Bunny concert.
Wow.
She posted some suggestive photos on Twitter. She had the time of her life.
Don't we all, though?
You know what? I would love to walk around with like a Puerto Rican belt buckle.
What does that mean?
Like a Puerto Rican flag on my belt.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would love that.
All right. This is from Mr. NXT. Is Dominic still going to turn on Rey?
That's the plan. I don't know when, but that's the plan.
All right.
Did you see that ridiculous WWE social post? Who has a better frog splash?
No.
You didn't see it?
No. I've been like kind of out of it lately. I've been so slammed with work that, you know, that's like low on my tier of socials.
Interesting.
It's if it's not Eddie Guerrero, I don't want to know about it.
Eddie has a great, yeah. Who had a better frog, Eddie or Rob Van Dam?
I'm gonna go Eddie, man.
Eddie,
because he did the open close, the close open.
I feel like Van Dam was so dense he would just sink through the ring.
Oh, 100%, man. He's a thick dude.
He is a thick boy. I it's actually he's deceivingly thick.
This is just a comment that makes me giggle from Brandon Edwards. Mm-hmm. Dante is a sloppy ricochet.
Dante is a sloppy ricochet. That actually is funny.
That sounds like an old school cocktail.
Give me a sloppy ricochet.
I'll take a sloppy ricochet. This one is from retired Rear Admiral Jay Garajaru on Twitter. That is a real handle. Who do you want to see in the House of Black? And will Enchante be in the House of Black? As soon as you get misted, you just pass out.
Can you imagine? I think Brody King would be great for the House of Black. Dave D says that he'll hook me up with a Puerto Rican durag.
Oh, yeah.
You think I could wear one?
Honestly,
am I allowed?
I almost wore one in Chicago.
I want to wear one. Why can't I? I want rolls in my hair. Waves in my hair.
I almost wore one when we recorded all the Wrestling Observer stuff and I was in the hotel room.
That would have been so good. You are shirtless, wearing a durag, and Dave Meltzer walks in with his gigantic biceps.
Ah.
And then he just makes you kiss him. That's what he does.
Give me a noogie.
He gives you a noogie with the bicep, but he grips really hard.
This one is from Sexy Chewbacca on Twitch.
Oh my god, it is a sexy Chewbacca on the image on Twitch.
From Sexy Chewbacca on Twitch. Okay. So who does AEW need to not
That's a
re-sign?
Great question. Is that how it is? I think that's a really good question because a lot of these contracts are expiring soon. Like, what happens to a Joey Janela? I'm not saying that they shouldn't re-sign Joey, but there was so much buzz about Joey going to AEW when he did.
Yeah, dude.
And it didn't, you know, and I think he said something like he needs to work harder. I've always been a fan of his. I think that there was something very unique about him. I like the New Jersey dirtbag gimmick. Like,
oh,
I'm a big fan of it.
Yeah, for sure.
I just feel like it was like things got shuffled around too much. And I think AEW has had that happen and people really don't discuss it because it's still new and people are still in the honeymoon phase about AEW. Mm-hmm. But they had a bunch of obstacles thrown their way. The pandemic, for one, you start a brand new company and 4 months later, you got to shut everything down essentially with your touring. And luckily, they had that facility.
Yeah.
That they could have recorded in. Obviously, the passing of Brody.
Ugh, yeah. I think today's his birthday.
Today's his birthday, yeah. The passing of Brody was a big hit. You know, bringing in, you know, the John Moxleys and bringing in Bryan Danielson and CM Punk. These are all changes to your future.
Yeah.
So from the point of starting Dynamite in 2019 to now, they've had to adapt and they've had to change plans.
Straight up.
Listen, John Moxley going away for a little bit, that has changed a lot because Danielson was not supposed to be the challenger for this. I believe it was going to be Moxley.
But that's another wrestling perfect storm. Like, who better than Danielson?
Who better than... Listen,
what a great deal.
So, I don't know. Long story short, I don't know who they don't need to sign, but they are going to end up having to cut some people. I don't want to name names because I don't want to single anybody out, but that roster from that original roster, there's a lot of those guys that didn't click the way that people thought, or there were other people that they thought that would be a better focus. I don't think Dante Martin was a focus in 2019. Nobody was talking about Dante Martin in 2019.
Dude. Yeah.
You know, the Acclaimed, I absolutely love them. I think they're a great act.
And then the one dude got in trouble for a little bit.
The one dude got in trouble for a little bit, but that's fine.
Yeah, very interesting. Do you think there should be a guy called the Original Rasta?
The Original Rasta? I love that, yeah. I'm into it.
We got a super chat from That Bean. Great question right here. Morning, guys. Do you believe there will be more great sociology matches in the near future?
That Bean, I really hope...
whoever you are.
Thank you very much. I really hope they have some really good sociology matches. Like Jake Roberts, great psychology wrestler. Raven, great psychology wrestler. Yeah. Apparently, Bryan Danielson, great sociology wrestler.
Bryan Danielson and Adam Page, two of the best in my opinion, when it comes to sociology and wrestling.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. I'm going to take 3 seconds here to answer a buddy of mine's question.
Okay.
My friend Alex just texted me. I hope it's not me with the mist. It's Tony.
Oh, you want to hit Tony with it?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't even watch this. So, you know, he doesn't know about this. Let's see. This is from Charlie Orr. Is AEW eyeing an HBO Max partnership?
I mean, it's Warner Media, right? Yeah. And I know that, you know, Bleacher Report is really bizarre. It's a very bizarre service.
Mm-hmm.
I know that AEW is working on like some sort of archive,
yeah,
you know, where you could go back and watch everything. You know, like here's the reality, you know, I think this is a discussion to have maybe tomorrow when we film something, but WWE controls wrestling right now. All of pro wrestling, like anything that's watchable, they have. Maybe there's some stuff that they don't own. I know that there's some stuff that they don't own, like the Memphis stuff, I think, because that's like, it's like a partnership, multiple people have it, but WWE has all of it. It's not a bad thing if, you know, and the ones that control that content control the history and the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if AEW were to pick up, let's say, a Ring of Honor in their library, and maybe, I'm just throwing something out there. There's no truth behind this. I'm just throwing like a PWG, right? That they could link up and do a partnership and then put on HBO Max as their own thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Very, very.
Because now you have a viable competitor in that category.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that maybe Tony's pursuing this. I have no idea if he is.
Yeah.
But like sometimes you want the books in other people's hands, so there's a balance.
I agree with that 100%. I also think the PWG library would be a fascinating addition if they ever go this route.
Doesn't exist digitally.
Well, I mean,
isn't that interesting?
I'm pretty sure that they could upscale it and do whatever they need to do.
No. Right? I mean, like, there's no website that you could go and like watch it all.
Right. I thought you meant like everything is just on like hard copy
VHS.
Yeah, that's like, how they all VHS. Yeah. This is one from Cadillac Carson. This is a super chat. Great name, by the way.
Yeah.
$4.99. Hey guys, love your content. Keep up the excellent work.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you think Brock and Roman will do another match at this coming WrestleMania?
I hope not. I hope that they go in a different direction here. I you know, there's different stories. One, you could do Drew and Roman for the title. And two, you could do Lesnar and Drew again because they never got that match. They never got that match in front of, you know, a large audience.
Yes, for sure.
And, you know, in a weird way, I feel like Drew really suffered from this pandemic. His whole push got derailed. I also think WWE's major shift into heavier sports entertainment came from the pandemic. I think they would have adapted very differently with AEW, because I've heard some things that they were planning on doing that is night and day compared to what we're seeing right now on Raw. So Heyman being ousted as a writer, Eric Bischoff obviously leaving beforehand. A lot of these things played a part. John Laurinaitis coming in. You know, a lot of these moves may not have happened the way that they did if the pandemic didn't happen.
I'll agree with that. We got a follow-up from Cadillac Carson for $4.99.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cadillac, again. And I quote, "Also, I minor in sociology, and I can confirm that Hangman and Danielson had a great sociology in their match."
Thank you, Cadillac Carson, our sociology expert here on Matt Man.
I'm so happy right now. this next one is off of Twitter from JBloon23. Do you see CM Punk winning the AEW title sooner rather than later and then losing it to MJF?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they need to do that yet. I think they could tell a nice story after maybe, I don't know, a couple months, maybe a year or so. I don't know how long his deal is. I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 years. But maybe like a year or two in, you start doing, you know, now he's coming for the title. I think they'll probably try it sooner. But you know what I'm looking forward to more?
Mm-hmm.
The tag team with Danielson and him. I want to see them win the tag titles.
Oh, dude, I want them as gnarly
tag
heels.
Yeah, I always liked it when they tagged. They do have some sort of chemistry that is different. Like, their matches are always different. And, we've never really seen what they could do unleashed.
Unleashed, yeah.
With pile drivers and tombstones. We got how many freaking tombstones yesterday?
Dude, I want... you think Okada's showing up because of the tombstones?
Yeah.
I want them to really turn on everybody. Like, I want Punk to start their match as the ultimate babyface and then end with a heel handshake.
Okay.
This was the plan all along. Do you think, this is a question for you. It's from Rich. First time, long time. The only reason I'm doing this podcast is to ask you questions.
Okay, go.
Do you think at some point they're going to have a fully tongue-in-cheek former WWE guy faction? Punk, Danielson,
they could.
Jericho,
they could. What do you call them?
A couple more guys.
I mean, it's getting on WCW territory, but I think they could do something like that.
Yeah.
The old blood versus, what was it? The new blood versus the icons. What the hell was that stable called?
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
Then WC, and then what's his name did it? Impact did it, right? With the Billionaires Club?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Impact? Was Impact the Billionaires Club or was WC? No, WCW was the Billionaires Club versus the
Main
the
Event
blood.
Mafia.
The Main Event Mafia. No, Main Event Mafia. Was it? Yeah, it was Main Event
Booker
Mafia.
Booker T, Nash.
Yeah.
I think Joe was in it, though. And Kurt Angle. If I'm not mistaken.
And then they tried to build a horseman. Remember that?
Fortune?
AJ Styles Fortune.
That was fun.
I liked it. I actually think Aces and Eights was not as terrible as people think.
Best faction in Impact history.
In Impact history, I agree
Absolutely.
With you.
Absolutely. Listen, Bubba won the title.
Bubba did. Bubba got a lot of crap for saying that you need more heat. Heels need more heat.
Bubba. All right. This is from Mark L. I'm late to the chat.
Hi, Mark.
But Drew was on a local sports station this morning and is alluding to a Roman WrestleMania match. He mentioned Roman a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that that would be the natural progression for him because that's a match that we really haven't seen much of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to headline a WrestleMania, that those two would be the headline for WrestleMania. I think a lot of their plans got screwy with The Rock not being there this year, but I think doing it in LA makes a little bit more sense. The whole Hollywood angle.
Absolutely.
Hollywood
Hogan might show up.
My final match, brother.
Brother, I'm here.
He's walking around with a cane, apparently.
Wow. Poor Hogan. Let's see. Do you want to take one more?
Yeah.
This one's a sad one. Let's go here. I think you can answer this one.
Yeah.
This is from Eliza Lives. Can you explain for the few of us that don't follow the NFL how bad was the loss?
Of what?
The Jaguar situation.
Oh, the Jags have been terrible.
Yeah.
They're not winning. I don't think Urban Meyer's adapted well. I'm not a big football guy, let me just say that. But, you know, I followed enough. I just don't think that he was able to adapt well. And you know, it's a team. It's a franchise team. It needs to do well. You can't lose every game and then hope for the best.
True. We got another one from retired Rear Admiral Jay Garajaru. Me again. Parentheses, still wondering why you're not naked.
Oh.
End parentheses. I fly in from Germany to go to the AEW New Year's Smash. Any tips on what to do in Jacksonville?
I know nothing about Jacksonville. Except Fred Durst has a lyric about Jacksonville.
What is it?
A redneck effer from Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Keep your mask on. Florida's funky, baby.
I know nothing about Jacksonville. I don't know what there's to do in Jacksonville. If he had told me that going to Chicago and Huffman Estates, there were like two places to eat and one was a Chili's, I would have told you you're an idiot. But apparently there's only like three places to eat and one is a Chili's.
Close
to where we were.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Jacksonville.
That was a fun Chili's, man.
That was a fun Chili's.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah. Dave Meltzer, Andrew, who tweeted that? Dave Meltzer, Andrew Zarin, and Sean Ross Sapp walk into a Chili's.
Yeah. And then somebody immediately wrote unsubscribe underneath that.
Unsubscribe. I can't believe you guys all get along.
Here we go. This is from Chocolate Thunder, 917-2001. Pick five wrestlers who are free agents that would fit well in AEW, Impact, or NJPW.
I think we're running out of time, but I'll tell you, I'll give you five free agents.
Yeah.
I would say the Briscoes, AEW.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Buddy Murphy.
Sure.
AEW, mm-hmm. I would like to see him there. Wyndham.
Okay.
I mean, really, they could all fit everywhere. I mean, really, Impact and New Japan. New Japan I can't do because nobody's going to be anywhere, you know?
Right, like,
they
right,
can't
right,
do
right.
anything. But Impact Wrestling has no money, so they couldn't get him realistically.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I mean, there's some of these, like Buddy Murphy, obviously, could go to Impact. You know, maybe Braun is going to Impact with EC3. That makes a lot of sense to do something there. I don't know. I think the big question is, you know, do you want to load up on talent in uncertain times?
Right.
I'm not talking about AEW. AEW is, you know, they have the trajectory. But if you're Impact or MLW, you know, these guys want a lot of money. They're main TV players. So do you want to give them the cash, or are they going to be, or do they want to work pro bono, you know, for a much lower rate?
Yeah.
Very good question, though.
That is a good question. Yeah. It's 11:43.
All right, let's do like three more. Quick. Okay. We could do like rapid fire.
All right. This is from FF Beer Money.
Okay.
Off of Twitch. What value does WWE think they get by leaking Fast Nationals? What purpose does it serve?
I mean, everybody's assuming it's WWE. It's numbers. It's accessible. I've seen the Fast Nationals for years.
Mm-hmm.
I just never posted it because now I just do it because people are losing their minds. Like, and somebody's like, how come you don't post them some weeks? I'm like, dude, I got stuff going on the weekends.
Yeah, man, you're busy. You're
like,
dead.
I'm busy. This isn't my like livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
This is fun.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I feel like posting stuff. If I get the Fast Nationals, I post them. If I remember to ask, I post them. If I don't get them, I don't post them. And why does it matter? I got to tell you, I think there's a lot of assumptions why these numbers are getting leaked.
Right.
But very easy to get if you know people within the TV business. Brandon Thurston posts these. Dave has always had the Fast Nationals. I think it's a good assessment to know how the show did. It's an estimate. It's not a final number. So some people want to know.
Yeah.
Other people don't. But why? Who's the one dictating information should not be out there publicly? Like, there was someone that wrote, like, maybe you should stop posting these. And I said, why? And I wrote, why? Like, why? He goes, because people are getting very upset over it. I'm like,
who cares?
But why? Yeah. It has nothing to do with them. These are numbers that like sales teams and marketing and advertising looks at as indicators.
It's kind of funny how people come down on that.
It should be, these numbers should mean nothing to you if you're watching wrestling. Just watch wrestling.
Do you wake up sometimes, look yourself in the mirror and go, man, I'm the internet.
I'm the internet.
Man, I am the internet right now.
I also like posting because people lose their goddamn minds now over it.
I think it's kind of funny how, like, it's also people who don't watch our show or your numerous shows.
I like Dave's. I like it when Andrew snaps on people and who says, when did I say that? There's a lot of those. There's a lot of assumptions. And people assume so much.
Can we get that t-shirt made?
When did I say that?
When
or,
did I say that?
Or huh?
Huh?
I do the huh.
Huh?
Huh?
Apparently you're the MODOK of the wrestling podcast community because you never leave your chair.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Dave D says Andrew is straight Lieutenant Dan under the desk.
Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, man. Lieutenant Dan. This is a good question right here.
Yeah.
This is from Connor Augenstein.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was Tony's reasoning for putting Brian and Paige on first? If you're going to go an hour, why not put it on last and not have as many commercial breaks?
I will tell you why.
Tell
because
us why.
That crowd would have been exhausted to watch a 1 hour match at 10 o'clock, at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
They were hot. They were ready for it. It was unexpected. I actually think it was the right call because you got through the whole show.
Absolutely.
Like, you saw it and then you got to see everything else. I don't think it was a negative to put it on, but I do understand why. Even if it was the main event, it would have worked still. But
yeah.
I think the crowd, there's something to be said about crowd fatigue.
Yeah.
To watch a match like that at the end.
I love it personally because remember when we went to the Queen's Arthur Ashe show?
Yeah.
And we were both like, oh, they're starting with Kenny and
yeah, and you got
Danielson.
Hyped.
You know,
yeah.
Like, everybody gets hype with that. And also, maybe Danielson's one of those dudes who's like, hey, Tony, babes, I got to be out of here at about 9 o'clock.
I got an important meeting.
I
got
to be out of here. I'm not hanging out backstage, which is.
And here's the other thing, right? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't it go on? That's a WWE thing. That's historically a WWE thing to put on the main event. I mean, there's no rule that says you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
WWE did it for years, putting on the main event.
Oh yeah,
first. And then Hogan would come out later. All right, what else do we have?
I think if you want to make that train,
right,
we're good to go.
All right, we're good to go, guys. That's it for this week. Love each and every one of you. We will see you all. And Harlan debuted. We'll talk about Harlan maybe tomorrow when we record.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We got a special show coming tomorrow. Goodbye.
Later. I'm gonna zap you with our wizardly powers.